Oh, I didn't realize that.
Oh. Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good evening, and thank you for joining us tonight on LA Talk Radio, Empowered Communication Radio Show with Dr. Pat Allen. My name's Sue Wagner, Dr. Pat Allen's daughter and the director of the Dr. Pat Allen Wan Institute. We're so fortunate to have myself and Patricia Eltidge tonight to answer your relationship questions. The call-in number for the show is 323-203-0815. When you call the number, Sam at the switchboard sees your number and will call you back. Please make sure you pick up the callback and enter this number in your phone contact list to avoid going to spam. Before we take your questions, I want to tell you a little bit about the Wan Institute. The Wan Institute offers instructions on the principles of communication with personal integrity to help individuals to achieve goals as well as enrich their personal and professional relationships and to create a win-win situations in every one of their day-to-day activities. The Wan Institute was founded to promote and teach these skills with the goal of helping people to live authentic, successful lives using the technique of WANT training as developed by Dr. Pat Allen. If you want more information regarding the monthly ladies groups or other services, please call me at the office at 949-723-0338, or you can email me at info@drpatallen.com. Again, our call-in number, if you want to call in for questions, 323-203-0815. Tonight we have Patricia Eltidge and myself. Patricia, are you there?
I'm here for you and anyone out there.
Did you have a good New Year's? Anything going on?
Had a great New Year's and laying low and having a wonderful dinner with my love and enjoying bringing in the new year, just the two of us, staying out of trouble.
Good. Before we get any calls, do you have any questions maybe or information we can go over by anybody that called in or emailed you?
Yes. Since last week, I had a follow-up with one of the callers and who had to, for her own health reasons, get out of her marriage, a 23-year marriage. Well, the follow-up was she felt so relieved from that when she called in that she was on a normal emotional path when she said she was now divorced, but thought she would feel happier because it was a worse than dysfunctional marriage. It became abusive, emotional abusive and verbal abuse. And she was hospitalized twice and from being sick from the stress and the continual abuse. So she finally got out. She's divorced. And she was wondering why she didn't feel good. And she goes, I'm wondering why I'm not happy. I'm actually sad. But then I let her know that I was proud of her for her courage to walk away on her own volition rather than being taken out in a body bag because it had gone way too far. And sometimes as much as we want to help couples get together and stay together through communication. And there's a time when you do throw in the towel, when it's to do with surviving and your own health. So that was wonderful that she followed up.
Yeah. I have some lady that I've been working with. She has this great guy, but he's an alcoholic and he lives with kind of like the mother that's a little bit too overpowering. Mm. And had a session with this alcoholic's therapist and she stood up for herself, but she's now questioning, will he ever change? And I said, he's got to go to AA. That, you know, Pat would never see anybody till they go to AA. What would you do if somebody has drinking and you love their attention and stuff, but they lie about the drinking? What would your boundaries be for this lady?
Well, first of all, I would send her to Al-Anon, because Al-Anon is for the people who are the codependents who stay with people who are addicted, whether it be drugs or alcohol or whatever their deal is, sex and gambling and other things. So if they're staying and they're enabling them, they are codependent. They can go to Codependence Anonymous. They can go to Al-Anon and learn those reasons why they're there with somebody who isn't well. So that's my advice to them.
Usually from like the ladies that I do coaching for a women's group, they talk about your attachment, your attachment styles. Mm-hmm. Dr. Allen says your pickers off.
Most yes.
of the women, they're because of their own insecurities and self lack of self-love, they pick the bad men, the abusers,
the bad boys.
They don't love themselves first. What would, if you were to tell somebody about their bad picker, why do I always get the same guys over and over again?
Well, we have to examine that. We examine why you pick the same type or somebody who's not healthy. So let's examine that. We question them and say, do you like somebody who treats you nice and who is healthy and who sometimes they fault people who are the nice guys? And that boils down to when I help someone, when I do their life scripts, we get to the bottom of how they were brought up through their upbringing and what they witnessed at home, how they viewed their family dynamics. And it gets very deep. How we unravel that and how important that is to understand your early training and your early role models of how people relate. So that's what you're doing in your group, Sue. You're helping people with new modes of communication that they weren't brought up that way to communicate in healthy ways.
Yeah, I want to say a little bit about my groups. I do have some, they're just drop-in check-in groups. Most of my ladies are dating. So you're doing the online dating and I help them. You know, when the guys are doing this, I tell them how to do that. It's kind of like I'll walk you through the online dating because most of the women are still in their masculine state. You know, they're still trying to compete, control, and manipulate the men in a way that the men pick up on it. And a lot of them mother the men. They want this man so bad that they bend over backwards to accommodate him. And that's actually the opposite thing to do. But these women, so in my groups, if you want information, you can reach me at the office. I have four of them coming up in January. They're drop-in. I think two Mondays will be 9 and Mondays will be at 4:30 and Thursdays will be at 9 a.m. So it's variable hours. And also, Patricia Eltidge does life scripts and dream interpretation. That's
very
successful. If you want to find out how you operate daily, the tapes that are recorded that go over and over, Patricia will tell you about that and how it affects the men you're with, even the types of jobs you get. How does that work, Patricia?
That's right. Even your choice we have some people who are in their 40s and still living at home with their parents. They have not cut the cord and they'll never be free. They allow themselves to be held hostage by their parents, and they're not full-fledged, autonomous, self-actualized adults. And so we help people really become autonomous and healthy adults. And that's the whole point of Dr. Pat Allen's teachings in androgynous semantic realignment and transactional analysis and Eric Byrne's work is to become a full-fledged, self-actualized, healthy adult.
So well said. So also in your dream interpretations, tell us a little bit about what dreams can do as far as in your life. You know what I noticed? My grandson, I had him over last night and last week, and he was laughing in his sleep, dreaming. What is that?
Oh, well, our subconscious mind is where the dreams come from. And the dreams are actually a backdoor entrance to our subconscious mind. And the dreams tell the truth, but they come in forms of symbols. They're symbolic. For instance, here's somebody who wrote in, they dreamt of a big black dog that died. And well, I didn't have a chance to interview with this person, but I would say to that person, what in your life, in your masculine side of your life, now we're all masculine and feminine, but the masculine side of our life is our workplace, our business, our productivity. So I would say, and this is a female who wrote in, I would say, where in your masculine side of life, which could be your productivity or your work, do you feel this is that has died, or what is diminished, or you feel is has gone down, has been diminished? So that's, I did email back to this person, call me, make a session, call Sue at the office and get in touch with me through the Want Institute. And we will dive into that, where in your life, because the dreams are a barometer of where you're at in your waking life. So this particular, that's a good entry to this question, is how our dreams are revealing how we are actually processing and perceiving our waking life.
Okay, so like, let's say my grandson was laughing. Is that, I interpret, oh, happy?
Well, he's enacting a good time, just like very similar to where dogs sometimes look like they're sort of running. Yeah, they're twitching and they look like they're chasing a rabbit or something. Who knows? And so your son, the grandson, was having a good time at the playground or whatever in his mind. So that's a barometer that he more than likely had a good day that day. So did you do something fun with him that day?
I would guess so. Or, you know, I mean,
do you recall what you did?
We played the video games and we made gingerbread houses and I think.
I'm going to tell you that was, he enjoyed that. He enjoyed the attention, number one. You said you're making gingerbread houses with him. Well, how often does he get to do that at home with the parents?
Yes.
So that was something new and unique, and he had a good time doing it with you. So that's his expression of it.
So true, so true. For the audience out there, our call-in number is 323-203-0815. We'd love to get you to call in. I'll take some questions.
Yeah, so I love that person who had the dream of the big black dog, because as I just went over it a bit, I always have questions for people. It's the dreams aren't exactly a black and white; they're individual. But I question people when they have the dreams. Anyway, so to follow up with the grandson, I commend you for creating a fun day for him.
Thank you. So since we don't have any callers, are there any special topics you want to go over that Dr. Allen teaches that might be some information for the people if they listen to the archives? What's your favorite topics from Dr. Pat Allen's work?
Well, you know, I really like it when people ask about what's the difference between chemistry and compatibility, because some people think they're the same. Well, chemistry is a bodily sensation that's actually really truly chemical. We sense through our olfactory system the nasal passages going up to a particular part of our brain, and we can sense another person's DNA. And that's why some people say, oh my God, they turned me on the second I met them. Well, that's chemistry. People have chemistry with people or they don't. So that's what chemistry is. And compatibility, on the other hand, is when you enjoy the same things, you both enjoy opera, or you both enjoy going to the baseball game, or you like reading books and discussing books, or compatibility.
Would you say that people should be similar to each other or be a little bit different so they could share each other's? Is it, you know, otherwise you're picking a carbon copy of yourself?
Yeah, there was a Jerry Seinfeld show on that.
Well, I mean, I tell people you want them to be a little bit, but you also want them to be a little bit different so you can share your interests together.
Yes, right. You can. Some people, I do know couples who do everything together. They loved skiing. They skied together. They did both retired. They did everything. They traveled. So that's one style. So that does work for some people. Other people need a little more personal space and like to do things with their girlfriends. And they like to, let's say, play pickleball with their girlfriends. And that doesn't involve their husband. The husband likes to golf with his guy friends. Uh-huh. And then they come together and they both like to go to the movies together. So everyone's different. And if you honor the other person's need for what they like to do, you and I both, Sue, get people who say, oh, well, he's off doing this and he doesn't give me enough attention. Well, then you're going to have a problem if you're jealous of him golfing with his guy friends, because he needs to do that for his well-being. So
Well, yeah, you know, like you go over the relationship contract items, time, space, money, and play. You can't expect your spouse or boyfriend to be attached at the hip. He's got a life that he has to live. You know, he shares it with you, but also shares it by himself or with other people.
You don't want
a codependent relationship.
Right. We want interdependency, meaning you enjoy each other's company. You can rely on each other. However, you give each other enough space to do what you like to do for you, to be so you be you. And it goes the other way, too. Some men are so possessive, they can't stand it when their wives or girlfriends want to go do something with a girlfriend once a week. So it goes both ways. People need to negotiate, and that's what we teach at the Want Institute, is we teach how you can negotiate different areas of your life so that you can be compatible.
Yeah, that's true. There is a video on our website, drpatallen.com, www.drpatallen.com. And it's about chemistry, compatibility, and communication. It's a stream video that you can watch of Dr. Allen teaching that. It's about an hour long, but it goes over all the tools. Very informative, and it's available for free access. If you hear this recording, please feel free to go onto our website and look it up. We also have Dr. Pat's recommended book list on the same site. For all the books that Dr. Allen recommends, Dr. Allen, she recommends a lot of books because you can go to therapy, but sometimes the books can help you understand a lot about yourself and a lot about your other people. Oh, we have a caller. Caller, you're on the air. Do you have a question for us?
I do have a couple of questions for you.
Okay, go ahead.
All right. I am a parent. And I'm calling about a relationship with a teen daughter.
That can be interesting. Okay. What's the age? What age?
My daughter is 19.
Okay.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So she is 19, and she hasn't spoken to me directly in about 14 months. So I've reached out. I continue to fill out my FAFSA form for her to get her financial aid. I continue to send a little bit of money here and there through our bank accounts, but she hasn't reached out. She hasn't talked to me. I've sent an email like, hey, what can we do? I've done all of the things. So I'm just trying to figure out what's the next step to do.
Let me ask you.
That's a good one, Patricia.
Yeah, that is interesting. And is she living on her own?
Not really. She has a scholarship through the state and through the university. She's still living on campus housing, but she's not in the dorm, but it's still campus housing. Mm-hmm. So technically speaking, she's not making any money to support herself, but I still carry her health insurance. She has her own car insurance, but her grandmother paid it. So there's not a real financial connection other than, you know, obviously, like I said, filling out the financial aid forms and stuff like that.
But you're sending her some money occasionally too, or regularly?
Occasionally. Not a lot, because it gets better. Part of the reason why we had a falling out is that she has possibly an eating disorder. She's mm-hmm. been binge drinking. She has mm-hmm. also been, I think, taking some other illegal substances. Mm-hmm. I don't have mm-hmm. any proof of most of this. It's just kind of hearsay or whatever.
Well, you might want to, next time there's money, does she ask for money?
No, she never has. She hasn't asked for money. She hasn't done anything like that.
Then you don't send it. You don't send money. You don't okay. send money. She's an adult already. She's over 18, and mm-hmm. there's not much you can do. She's an adult, considered an adult, and
right.
and it's sad, but this called tough love.
But and can I this, ask? Was there
yes?
Was there some kind of trauma with you and the dad with her? You and her dad.
That oh yeah,
she has an eating disorder. She might be mad at you for maybe pushing dad away, or she might, remember, kids always side with the weaker parent, and the stronger one they hate.
She hates both of us. She hasn't talked to him for 3 years.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Any other siblings?
Yes.
And how are they?
They're good. They're good.
Are they living at home?
No, same university, same housing area, same different majors.
Well, you know, I'm just throwing this out because, you know, sometimes I've done it with my kids. If they want money, it's called, you know, it's kind of like bribery. If you want money, you do this. It's a tip. Yeah, it's like I did it before with my daughter. If you want my help, I want you to go to a therapist, and I'd be more than happy to help.
Yeah, she doesn't want my help.
Then that's where you don't give them any money. If you want my help,
you don't send it.
Yeah. If you want, you make it's called negotiate. If you want my money, I'm more than happy to help you. And in return, I'd like you to go see a therapist to find out why you hate me, or you have this or that.
Yeah.
So don't send any more money as of today.
No, I won't. No, I'm not going to. No.
But try and make it a negotiation, because otherwise you're trying
to. But she's not responding to me at all. So there's no negotiation.
No, there's no response. So you don't send money, and you request the grandmother not to give money also.
I did, and she won't.
Well, tell the grandma if she could, she'll send the money if she goes to a therapist, a family, and maybe all of you go in together.
She won't do it. I already asked her. She won't do anything. She said she's not, doesn't want to risk her not talking to her either.
So she sends her money anyway?
Yeah, she sends her money. They gave her a car. They pay her car insurance. They send her
So they're enabling food. They're enabling her.
But I can't do anything about it.
No, you can't. Who's, is that your mother or the father's mother?
My mother, yeah.
Your mother, you need to have a talking with your mother.
I already did. She won't do it. She won't change anything.
If you give her information about enabling and to do with addiction.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. She'll still do it. It doesn't matter. We've been talking about it for a year. And put
a year.
Yeah, so I just didn't know if I just go, I mean, because I've still tried to reach out. So my main question was, do I just stop trying to reach out as well?
You only send a card if you want to wait till Valentine's Day, or a New Year's card if you want to say it now, saying I'm here for you when you want to talk. It has to be in a written form in the mail. You send it to her and say, I am here for you when you're ready.
Yes, that's a good, and do it every, even if it's every month.
No, it has to be one, that, no.
Just ritual?
One time. Yeah, ritual. One ritual card. I love you. I am here for you when you're ready.
Yeah.
Is it only for like a holiday?
No, you can do it now. It's New Year. It's a new year. And
you've got New Year's, Valentine's Day, St. Patrick's Day, Easter.
You send one of those kind of cards.
Okay. And then no money, nothing
None.
Else.
No.
No texting, no calling.
No. Zero. Zero.
Okay.
Tough love all the way. Read up on tough love.
Okay. No, that's why she's mad at me, because that's how I parented. You know, I was trying to get her to do chores and do things, and so I would take her phone away, and she'd be mad at me for taking her phone away because all her other friends didn't get their phone taken away. I mean, she's really sort of immature. She went to high, her first year in college, she just turned 17. So she was 17, 18. This is her third year in college at 19.
Wow. Well, she's emotionally stunted, and that's the problem. She's ahead of herself IQ-wise or scholarly, but she's stunted emotionally. So she doesn't have emotional intelligence. So that's where unfortunately, the grandparents, she's duped them into enabling her. And I'm really sorry to say that, but you can send them a book on tough love and addiction if you want to. Read up on that and send your mother.
She's not going to change. I can guarantee you that she will not stop, but I will try again
You're going to tell your mother if she dies from an overdose, I guess it's on your head.
Well, she doesn't think she's doing it. I mean, like it's there's nothing that I can do there. So I'm just going to have to let them have their little thing that they do. And I just want to make sure that I'm doing everything that I can do as good as I can do it. So, so no more money. I will send through the mail written, I love you, I'm here when you need me.
On a card.
But I will not,
don't say anything more than that. I'm here, I love you, and I'm here when you want. When you're ready. Okay. No, when you're ready.
Yeah.
Okay, and then it's just like with men. So, if I wait and she responds to me, let's say in my dream of dreams she does respond to me, then what do I ask to do? So would you see a therapist with me? Do you want me to mediate? Like, what is the next step if she happens to respond?
Then you go have a coffee or lunch together. So just to have a meeting, and at that meeting you will say, I want to help you. I want to be there for you as much as I can, and would appreciate us going to a therapist together.
Okay. Now, if she has valid concerns, because I don't even know what her concerns are. So if she has something and she says, well, you were this and you were that. So do I say,
I'd like to talk about it in the presence of a third party.
Okay. All right, and just stay calm, collected, and realize that it might be some back and forth, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. And maybe she sees stuff that you don't see in you that she has triggered.
Oh, I guarantee it.
But it's better to have a therapist point it out so that you can get it cleared up and she can speak to you in the presence of a therapist rather than you.
Yeah.
Okay.
End up now.
I didn't hear that. It got out.
Oh, I said, get it cleared up now if she has if she's willing to go to a therapist.
Yeah. So I'm like I said, she's only 19 and she's only got like a year and a half left of school. And then I figured when she actually gets out in the real world where she has to support herself and pay for her car insurance and to pay for her housing and to pay for all that stuff, I kind of thought maybe it would knock her into a little bit of now I kind of see what's going on. So right now she's sort of in that like immature lifestyle of college. So I'm kind of hoping that within the next year or so that things start to change. But I will make a commitment. No more money. I will send through the mail. I will be prepared as I want to meet you. And I'll say, let's try to have a third party and work it out.
Sounds great. Anything else? Good plan. Great plan.
That sounds so easy.
It really is kind of easy.
Well, it's called you plan your work and work your plan.
Okay. So, and I'll run it by my mom again. Now, what about the sister? Does she need to do anything different? She said absolutely with 100% she will not be a go-between. But is there anything that I need to do?
No.
All right. That sounds good.
Sounds good. Good luck with that.
There's no hi-bye letter or any of that stuff.
No.
Just basically a love letter. I love you and I'm here when you're ready.
Okay.
I'm here when you're ready to talk.
Yeah, it may take until she graduates for her to come around when she does see what the world's like. So you got to be prepared to be patient.
Okay. And only on the holidays, like you said.
Just now. It's like it's New Year's now. You can use New Year's if you want to do it now.
Okay.
This is a new year. I wish you well.
I'm not going to do it just once and then never again.
That's correct. Once.
Well, once and never again?
Do it this once.
Well, not just once forever. Wouldn't she do it like on Valentine's Day? You just said Valentine's Day and
You reach out once. If you want to wait till Valentine's Day, that's an I love you, or you can do it now, whatever you choose. I say one time because I don't want you chasing her.
Okay.
I want her to come to you like a scared animal.
That's true.
Okay. All right. So I send it and then I do nothing. No money, no contact.
You go to the gym and enjoy your life.
All right. That sounds horrible. But yeah,
I know. Okay. I know. It's tough. It's harder on the people doing the tough love. Trust me, I've been there. Okay.
So I'll send it and then I just live my life. Oh my God.
Live your life.
And then, I mean, what happens? So is it possible
when
that
she's
she
ready
never
to come? When she's ready, she'll come back differently. You won't be mother, daughter. You will come back with a different relationship. When she comes back, it will be on different terms. You stay in touch.
Okay.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
What makes daughters do that though? Because it happens. Mothers and daughters have a very strained relationship because
they can, but fathers and daughters can have it too. It just depends on. And I know this system backwards and forwards with the tough love stuff. So, and it's harder on the person having to practice the tough love end.
Well, eventually she'll have to go to the graduation, hopefully, or maybe she won't
We'll cross that bridge when you come to it.
She
will, because she's putting out, she's not chasing her in a way where she's badgering her. She's just putting out a love note saying, I'm loving you, I love you, and I'm here. That's it. And that way, she's not chasing. The person can come to her on her own terms.
Yeah. That's true.
Yeah.
So again, callers, if you want to call in for a question, it's 323-203-0815. We've got about another 20 minutes to take calls. We were talking about Dr. Allen's work before we got a call. Compatibility chemistry.
Once we determine what the difference is between chemistry and compatibility.
You're on the air. Do you have a question for us?
Yeah, hi. Well, that depends. Are you available for a dream question?
Patricia Eltage. Dr. Pat's not on today.
Uh-huh. Yeah, well, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Okay. My question is, I went out dancing last night and I had a terrible time. I enjoyed watching the really good dancers, but I had an unpleasant time for the most part, just feeling like I wasn't getting asked to dance by people I would enjoy dancing with, and I was getting asked to dance by people I really did not enjoy dancing with. And two times I had to just like walk off the dance floor with two different guys. It was so unpleasant. And then, so I didn't have fun except for the part of just sitting out and watching, enjoying the music and watching the good dancers.
Okay. What's your question?
And then I had a dream that feels related to it. And the dream was that I was just in this really bad, like big, almost like a high school kind of environment where everybody was on drugs. And it was just like a really bad dream, and I wanted to get out of there. And I'm wondering,
this is a barometer that your dream, your feelings, your feeling that you got in that dream was, I want to get out of there. This is, I'm having a bad time. So that's how your brain, your subconscious mind, unraveled and unpacked your experience the night, that night. And it, and it, and you had a bad time, you had a bad feeling. And so it gave you this dream of a recounting maybe a past time where you felt bad like that. And felt that you wanted to get out of there. So it's
exactly like high school,
like a high school PTSD thing. So the next time you are in a situation in waking life where you are wanting, first of all, you're in the wanting position, and that's masculine. When you want to dance with this person, and you you're not happy dancing with the other one, there's something else you can do. And that is go zen and be enjoy the moment of the music. Close your eyes and enjoy the music.
Yeah, I was doing that. And then and that's the part where I had a good time. If I was just sitting out enjoying watching the dancers and enjoying the music, that part felt good. But
what do you say, Sue? Sue, when people are the ladies, when they say they want, when they're wanting to dance.
Yeah, wanting is masculine. It's the control. If you're going to a dance, you know, there's a lot of times when you just go out and dance by yourself, and you'd be surprised how many people will want to dance with you.
I dance partner dancing, so I don't, everybody does partner dancing only. You wouldn't be on the floor.
I understand. Is it like salsa or tango or something?
Tango, yes.
Yeah,
so let me ask you, what is so repelling on the guys that you're dancing with? Are they horrible dancers, or you just don't like them in general?
Incredibly horrible and telling, like forcing things that I don't want to do. I've never had, like, I've been dancing tango for 10 years, and I've never had two horribly bad experiences in a row at the same night.
Okay, well, this was a lesson for you. I know tango very well. I've danced tango for over 15 years myself, so I'm very familiar with the scene. And there are times when you don't, if you know that person is not a good dancer and you would not enjoy it, when they approach you, you look down. You don't look at them, and you don't accept the dance.
Yeah, in fact, I'm loving hearing that you danced tango before. I'm considering out of it. I'm considering getting out of it because of
there's more women than men in this town. Yes. Unless you move to Buenos Aires, if you go move to Argentina, you'll get lots of dances and the dancers will be good. But what town are you in?
I'm in the Bay Area, and the guys, the two guys that like repeated me asked me at different events, and every time I said no, and this time I was like, just be gracious and dance with them.
No, darling, let me just, that you just said it to me right there. If you can't, if you are afraid to cause another pain, you're going to have to hurt yourself. I want you to get that lesson. You were afraid to say no. And the most powerful word a woman has in life is no. The word no. So you created your situation because you accepted something that you knew would be distasteful.
Totally. But in the tango scene, which you know, and I love hearing that, you know, I rarely see women decline.
They decline. You don't have to decline. You see them coming towards you and you look away. You look down.
I look hard away. I'm
And then you say, not at this time. You say, thank you.
Okay.
I'm sitting this out. Thank you. I'm sitting this tonda out.
Okay, I have guys get mad at me about it, and it
let them get mad. Really, if you can't handle them being in pain, you'll have to hurt yourself.
Yeah. Okay. So, because I'm considering like giving up tango altogether, and I
give it up. Take salsa. You'll dance all night if you take up salsa.
Really? Okay. So try something else, maybe.
Okay.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Okay, keep going. Bye. I think we've got a caller trying to call in. Let's see. Okay.
Not that I can see. No.
Okay. He's got, someone's texting that they're saying they're trying to get in.
Oh, yeah. They have to, Sam will call them back. So
he calls you back. Once you call once, don't keep calling. He will call your number back.
Oh, here, somebody's on the air. You're on the air.
Hello, lady.
Yes. Okay. Very good. Hello, you got through.
It is nice to hear your voices.
Uh-huh. Thank you.
What can we do for you?
Question?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I've been dating a man for a couple of months, mm-hmm. two and a half months long distance, and mm-hmm. I haven't had the sex talk with him yet because he brought it up initially and said that he doesn't want to have sex until we're in love because he wants it to mean something. He doesn't want just sex. So do I still bring up and tell him my terms for me?
No, he's already said it for now. And you can recount to him. Yes, I agree with you. So what you said last week about sex, I fully agree. And then you expand on your goals, what you are going to want out of a relationship. The whole speech. Sue, you want to tell her?
Oh, well, okay. So you would say, I'm not comfortable having casual sex until I'm in a long-term committed relationship headed for marriage.
Okay.
But if he says he doesn't want sex until he falls in love and stuff, he's already telling you what you wanted to tell him, which you follow his lead. And then when you're ready, you tell him your script. But he's already on board with you.
Perfect.
Or he's in another relationship that you don't know about and not out of it yet. We don't know that.
Mm. So if he tries, or I guess when he tries, if or when he does try to have sex, then that's when I say what you said, like, regarding what you said about waiting until we're in love. I agree.
Not just in love. Not just in love, darling.
Yeah, you've got to get the contract that he's going long-term monogamous.
Not just in love. In love can last 6 months and be done. Some people are love addicts.
Is that my moment to bring it up, though, when he tries?
The whole speech.
Okay. So first I can remind him that I agree with him, but just want to also share that I agree, but not until long-term committed relationship heading until marriage.
You got it, girl. Yeah.
Okay. I love it.
Great. Now it's your time to be patient and passive and receptive.
Patient.
That's always a hard one.
Patient, but happy when they reach out. Happy and receptive, but not chasing. Right?
Yes, ma'am. You've got it.
And you're dating three men. This guy isn't the only one.
I have two, but I have a blind date tonight.
Oh, okay.
So technically, I'll be adding a third, hopefully.
Okay. Well, this is three, so you've got three as of today because you have a date.
What if he shows up, right?
As of now, he's number three.
Right? How do we juggle three, though? Because two is hard enough.
Well, because even if you remember, have to do one a week.
Dr. Pat says if you only pick 2 men, it's either or. And if you have three, you have more variety to pick the one that best suits you, that what you're looking for in a man.
And they become more competitive. They
yes.
sense the energy. They energetically realize they have to up their game and compete for you, yeah. even though they don't really know that you've got three, but energetically they know that you're not all in with them. So
yes.
they know, they somehow know that
so
they need
I
to
have,
compete harder.
Well, a question around that is I have people ask me, they're like, oh, like other women that I know that are single and dating, they say, oh, I only date one man at a time. Like, how do you date three at a time? And do you tell the other men about the other men you're dating? And I said, no, but if they ask me, I say, I'm not in a committed relationship with you. And of course I'm dating. Aren't you dating?
Very good.
But you don't actually tell them that you're dating like one or two other people, right?
No, you don't say anything. That's none of their business. You're dating and you're exploring them. They are one of your dates.
Okay.
Dating is not a relationship. They have to compete to have you be in a relationship with them.
Okay.
You see,
and
in the olden days, the father would investigate the suitors, the men who came calling to a woman had to pass the test of the father basically interviewing them. But nowadays, in modern times, we have to parent ourselves and be our own father in a way and keep the gate. We have to be our own gatekeepers.
Gotcha. Okay, that's interesting what you said about him possibly being sleeping with somebody else or in a relationship, and that's maybe why he said that he wants
to
wait.
We don't know. You don't know enough yet. Wrong. We don't know.
Yeah, that's true. So complicated, this dating thing, ladies. Thank God you're here.
Stay close. Stay close.
Oh,
okay.
I will. Thanks,
that.
Ladies.
Thank you.
Thanks. Bye.
Keep us posted.
I will.
All right.
Oh, we're getting Bye. Close. We're getting close to the ending hour here. I don't know if there's any more callers out there. We might get one or two in, but anything else you want to say, Patricia, about tonight's show?
Well, I want to make a quote from Dr. Allen, and that is, the only way you know you love yourself or anybody else is by the commitments you're willing to make and keep.
Thank you, everybody. And remember, next week we'll be back. And if you do have a question and you're not able to call in, you can always email me and we'll answer the question on the show. And then you can listen to the archives. You can email me at info@drpetallen.com and we'll answer your question. And you can listen to the answer on the archives the next couple of days after the original airing. Thank you, everybody. We'll see you next week.
Bye for now.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.